You're listening to the City Lights Church Podcast with Pastor Jesse Miller.
Once again, everybody. You guys excited? This is Easter. This is a great day. One woo after that. Okay, so I'm going to have to preach hard this morning. All right. This is a cool pulpit. Like, this was a long time coming. Ben wanted me to have a different pulpit because I don't know why they didn't like the original one, which was like a bus. And then they got that one, which is like old and small, and now they have this one, which is straight out of the forest. So, it's, except for the steel part, this is like modern and old school. So this is beautiful. And look at this, a water holder on the back. That's some ingenuity. So Martin and Ralph built that. Thank you guys for doing this for me. I appreciate it. I'm excited though about this morning's message. Been praying for a while about what to share with you this morning. And I had something in my heart, and then once again, the Lord just hijacked it all, and so he gave me something that I know is better, because he hijacked my plans. And so I want to share that with you, but let me ask you a question. You all right?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh. You see me every day. That's my wife. She's like, I wonder what he looks like up there. So, we're a laid-back church. We kind of just go with the flow. But no, I'm glad that you're here with us this morning. Have you ever, let me ask you this, have you ever been looking for something in the wrong place, like completely in the wrong place? And it's like even kind of ridiculous that you're still looking for it where you're looking for it at. Let me give you a few examples. So I was hiking, the first time I ever went hiking, we had got a late start and we knew that the map said that the shelter off of the trail would be to the right. And so it got dark and I told my friend, hey, I'm going to keep us on the map, I'm going to watch our feet, make sure nothing's in front of us to trip over. You keep an eye out for the shelter sign and the trail that leads to the shelter, right? And so we're hiking, it's dark, and I look back, and he is shining his flashlight, hiking like this, to the left. And I'm like, dude, I told you it's on the right. Like, it's on the right. And at that point, literally at that point, I went like this. I said, I said it'd be over this way, and I shined my light, and there was the sign for it. I'm like, I'm so glad that I caught that at this moment, because we would have been hiking for hours in the dark. It would have been terrible. Like, who's ever hiked before, like a trail? Like, in the dark is terrifying. Anyway, looking for the wrong thing in the wrong place. Like, how many of you guys are parents, and you've sent your kids to look for something, like the remote? Like, hey, Haley, help me find the remote. And next thing you know, she's looking in, like, you know, her Easter egg that she just got this morning. Like, that's probably not going to fit. Like, the remote's this big. You know, your crayon box is this big. What are you even doing? You're just wasting time pretending to look. I mean, we have two children who are notorious for saying, I look so hard. And what they did was went like this. They're not even looking, right? Like, even this morning. So let me tell you about my morning this morning. I got up. I was getting ready. And today is Easter, the one day that I wear dress pants and a dress shirt. This is not my normal attire, for you who don't know. And I'm like, you can't wear a dress shirt tucked in without a belt. And I don't wear belts, like, ever. And the one belt that I could find is way too small. Like, that's not working anymore. The belt that I typically use, whenever that happens, could not find it. I'm in the basement, and I'm, like, looking around, panting. I'm irritated right now, right? I'm, like, looking around everywhere, and I literally open the dryer. My wife goes, why do you think the belt would be in the dryer? I'm like, I don't know, right? It's got to be somewhere. Like, if you ever look for something, and you're just so frustrated, but you continue to look anyway, and you know you're looking in the most ridiculous spot, like, you're checking the fridge for your car keys. It's like, how would that have happened? Like, what happened there? This morning, I want to talk about sometimes we are looking in the wrong place, especially when it comes to Easter, that the Lord is saying something to us, and we're looking in the wrong direction a lot of the times. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 6, I want to read this to us. We're going to go somewhere else in a little bit, but I want to point this out. It's Easter, and so I want to start us off by looking at the resurrection. Verse 1 in chapter 24, if you don't have a Bible, the one in the pew in front of you, you can keep that, you can take that home, you can make that yours, but we're going to read today. You can also follow along on the screen. Verse 1, but on the first day of the week at early dawn when they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. These two angels show up, and the disciples who are looking for Jesus are hiding their face from these angels, and the angels say to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, if I'm a disciple, my thought is, because this is where we put them. Like, you know, rule number one, when your kid comes to you and asks, hey, have you seen this? You say, where did you put it last, right? And here they say, why are you looking for the dead among the living? Why are you looking for life where you bury something? And they're like, because we buried him there. Like, we're not looking for the living, we're looking for the dead. They had something that they were looking in the wrong place for who Christ was. Make sense? They were looking for something. We often look at this as if this is just about the Easter story, the resurrection, as if this is just about us coming to life after we die and sitting on a cloud somewhere and spending eternity in heaven. And I would say if that is our view of Easter, we're looking in the wrong place. We're missing the whole point of the resurrection. We are looking for something that's not there. We're finding death where death's not supposed to be, instead of finding life where life is. When I look at this text, I see life now, not just some kind of beautiful story when we're on our deathbed, we all have hope because we're in the glory cloud somewhere playing a harp and sitting with Gabriel. Like, that's true-ish. Like, we will go to heaven when we die if we're in Christ, right? You guys agree with that so far? But that is not the point of the resurrection. That is not the whole story. There's a whole lot more that God is calling us to see and to discover right now. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 11. This is where we're going to spend the bulk of our morning together. You guys still good? John chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now, this is before Christ has been crucified and buried and resurrected. This is prior to that. Verse 1, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. Bless you. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God that the Son of God may be glorified through it. I want to point out real quick, Lord, he whom you love is ill. He's sick. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Let me say time out for a second. Do you see the words and the order that they're in? He finds out that they're sick, that Lazarus is sick. He loves them, and because he had loved all three of them, what's he do? He stays where he was. Wait, what? Like, you are Jesus the healer. You went around healing multitudes, and the person you love, you find out is sick, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to you. That doesn't make a lot of sense. It's something that I originally wrestle with. Like, how can you look at this passage and say, God, if you love me, you're not rescuing me now? Like, that's what we want, right? Like, if I tell my wife, hey, I'm bleeding out on the sidewalk, could you call 911? And she's like, yeah, I love you so much. You're my everything. You know, you're my soulmate. I'm going to watch the rest of this show for a few minutes. I'm going to have significant questions about our relationship, right? It makes sense. But I want to point out something to you, and I've said this the other week, that Jesus says over and over again, I only do and say what I hear and see the Father do and say, right? In every situation, Jesus is reflecting the exact representation of God's heart for us. So Jesus loves these people. The Father loves these people. He hears about their sickness, and Jesus is like, I ain't going. Why? Because the Father said, don't go yet. Don't go yet. I'm doing something else. I'm doing something bigger that will demonstrate my love more than you just reacting in that moment and rushing to them. Sometimes in our lives, we want God to show up in that moment right now, do something. God's like, I love you too much to do that. I got something bigger happening here. You don't even see what I'm about to do. Let's keep reading here. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" So they're like, "We can't go back there, Jesus. Like, why would we go back there? That's where they want to beat you up. They don't like you there." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." And Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking a rest and sleep. So let me just pause. That's funny, isn't it? Like, Jesus tells them, "Hey, I have to go there because Lazarus is sleeping." And they're like, "Well, if he's taking a nap, he'll be okay. If he's sick, he'll be fine. Like, not a big deal, right?" And Jesus is like, "No, he's dead, guys. Like, let me rephrase. When I said sleeping, I meant dead. Like, that's what I'm saying." Jesus says, he's spoken of his death. And Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake," look at this, "for the sake of the disciples, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Like, first, let me point on that. Thomas was the original Debbie Downer. Okay, yeah. Every group, you know, every party has a pooper. That's why we invited you, party pooper. That's Thomas, right? Did that offend somebody on Sunday morning? Like, he said party pooper. Anyway, Thomas was the original one. Like, Jesus says, "Hey, Lazarus has died." And Thomas is like, "Well, then we should all go die with him." Oh. Like, that's Thomas. Like, what? Like, what? What? He's dead, so you think all of the disciples, it'd be fitting for us to all go and die with him. What does that even mean? Like, why? Like, that's Thomas's response. Thomas is also the one, when Jesus is alive and all the disciples are like, "Hey, he appeared to us." And Thomas is like, no. "Unless I touch his side and his hands, I won't believe it." This is Thomas, the original Debbie Downer, right? And let's be real, though. Let's be real. We can pick at him a little bit, but how often are we the same Debbie Downer? When somebody that we know is going through something, all of a sudden our whole week is wrecked, right? When one bad thing happens, our whole day is destroyed. Like, we are, like, done. Like, "Oh, this is terrible. This person at work might get fired. Therefore, I'm going to be fired too. I might as well look for another job." What? They don't do their work. Like, and they're a gossip. Why would you get, like, you guys know what I'm talking about? We connect these dots in the way that the Father's like, "I ain't in that at all. Like, I didn't tell you to do that." Jesus just said, "I'm glad that I didn't go so that you can believe." And Thomas is like, "Let's go and die with him." I want you to believe and see something. Let's go and die. There are so many moments in our lives where the Father's saying, "I'm about to show you something. I'm glad that it worked out this way. If you just hear my voice, if you just listen to me for a minute," and we're like, "Nah, we might as well just throw it in the towel. We're dead. We're done." Is this making sense to anybody this morning? We put ourselves in graves that we weren't meant to be in. We just automatically assume the worst. Something's going wrong, so everything's going wrong. That's not the heart of the Father, and that's not his plan. I love that scripture says that when these things happen, these bad things happen, he works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. These are 12 disciples literally called out by Jesus, and their first thought when something terrible happens is like, "Let's throw in the towel, we're done." God's doing something bigger than what you see. So let's keep reading. Verse 17, when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, and Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Martha has already made these different statements in this passage that highlight the position of her heart. The first thing she says is, "If, Lord, then this would not have happened. If you would have shown up, this would not have been. If you would have done this, the outcome would be different. But because of what happened in the past, I can only see this is the current reality." And he says, "You will see your brother again." She says, "Yeah, I know that one day when the resurrection happens, I will see them." For them, as somebody who believed in the resurrection, there was a couple different camps of thought in the time, but somebody who believed in the resurrection, it was a far off one day that was prophesied about, not a present reality, not something she could experience in the moment. She starts off by saying, "Jesus, whatever you say, I know it can happen." And then he says, "Hey, you'll see your brother." And she says, "Yeah, one day I'll see your brother." She wasn't following the picture that he was painting. He's saying, "I'm showing you that you're going to see your brother." And she's like, "Yeah, that's one day I will see him. One far off day when we all get to yonder, what a day that will be. Some far off distant place, some future belief of the resurrection." And Jesus responds to her and says, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life." The resurrection is not a location. The resurrection is not a theology. The resurrection is not a future event. The resurrection is a person that you and I get to experience right now. I love that Scripture says that the same Spirit which rose Christ from the dead dwells in us. That resurrection Spirit, the person of Jesus, is not a distance, is not something that I hope for, but it's a present reality that I get to live right now. We have hope. There's a real reality of God's power living inside of us because of who he is, because of what he accomplished on the cross. She knows that he can heal the sick, but she feels like that moment has come and gone. Now he's dead. And Jesus says, "This ain't about the sick. This is about resurrection life in this moment. This is who I am. This is what I do." It's not some distant day. It's right now. Skip, if you would, to verse 38. We're going to keep looking at the story. Verse 38, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has died for 4 days. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?' And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound in linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" That's an exciting verse. Some of you guys might have heard this a couple times, but that's like a real story that really happened with real people. It's an exciting passage. Jesus says to her, though, like, I want to point this out to you. He says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Belief always leads to seeing the glory of God displayed. Part of the reason that some of you guys haven't seen walls and barriers and sicknesses and all these things that come against you destroyed or eliminated, and you haven't seen the glory of God revealed in that situation, is because there's still major disbelief. Jesus says, "I told you already, this is lesson like number one, belief reveals the glory of God. I respond to belief. It's what I do." So many times in the New Testament, you see somebody come to Jesus in belief, and he's like, "Man, because of your faith, I'm doing this. Because of your faith." He says, "I haven't seen faith like all this in Israel." Like, he is responding to faith. It's what he does. And Jesus points out here to Martha, "Hey, look, didn't I tell you? If you believe, you'll see God show up." We are a church that desperately and cognitively know that God wants to bring his kingdom and his glory here in our lives in a personal way and in this city. Three of us believe that, so the three of us are going to see it. God wants to reveal his glory. He always has and always will. He is not a God that says, I want them to figure this out and have a lot of pain and turmoil and dysfunction and just sin running rampant and poverty in the city. Like, that is not the heart of the Father. And I'm telling you, I'm a pastor that believes for better days for the city, and it's not a distant reality. Resurrection power is something that every believer gets to carry presently. And I claim that same resurrection power throughout the problems in this city. Just yesterday, I was working on some schoolwork for college. I'm working on my master's degree, and I had to write this survey of my city. I had to do a brief look at my city. And I'm like, man, this is not fun. Like, I was having one of those Debbie Downer moments. Like, how many, what is it, 93% of the kids in our city live under the poverty line? Like, that's why the Scranton School District gives out free lunches. You know that's not normal for school districts to give out free lunches? Like, we live in a city plagued with political corruption, right? I mean, you don't have to go back that far to see some major issues between Scranton and Wilkes-Barre with political corruption and greed and all kinds of issues. The stuff happening at the local court or the local jail right now with all the investigations. You guys are like, what is he talking about? The sexual assault allegations at the local court, or at the local, not court, the local jail. Like, there's problems in our city, but I am a firm believer that God wants to bring his kingdom into our city and see areas of death now become areas of life. That's what I believe. And this morning, we don't celebrate Easter as something to memorialize, to look back 2,000 years ago and say, that was cool, that happened, I get to die and go to heaven. I look back at Easter and say, he is no longer in the grave, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and therefore I get to proclaim the kingdom of God as a present reality in my life and in this city. That's what Easter's about. Jesus looks at the situation and he says, watch, I'll show you the kingdom of God. Lazarus, come forth. And he comes out, the dead man comes out, still bound in his grave clothes, and he says, yeah, go take that off of him. Yeah, go get it off of him. They're like, okay. Like, 3 minutes ago, they're like, he stinks. This is going to be terrible. And he's like, go get the dirty old clothes off. That's what happens when we know who the Son of God is, when we believe and we let him come into our situation, even if it's not the prime time we wanted him to show up at. We expect him to show up because who he is, what he does. Jesus sees beyond the stink. He sees beyond the grave clothes. He sees beyond your disease. He sees beyond the weeping and the crying and the wailing. And he says, I see life there. This is a story for you as well. If you do not know Christ, I'm telling you, he died on the cross because he looks at the junk that you've been through, the wreck that you're walking through called life, and he says, I see beyond that, and I'm pulling you out. I'm saying, come forth. Come out of it. Come to me. That's who he is. Come out of the grave. I see beyond that. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4 says this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul says to the church, you have already been raised with Christ. We see throughout the New Testament that we are buried with him in his crucifixion and burial and raised with him in his resurrection. He says, if that's who you are, and it is who you are, you have been, past tense, you have been raised with him, then now put your mind on what heaven sees, not on the junk of the earth, not on the grave clothes, not on that cave that you've been hiding in, not in that tomb that you feel like you've been living in, not in the dysfunction of your family issues. Some of you guys are connecting with family today, and you're like, oh, I do not want to eat ham with so-and-so. Like, you're just like, done. God sees beyond that dysfunction and says, I see life there. Do you believe it? Are you claiming it? God sees beyond the dysfunction of your work. God sees beyond the dysfunction of the current addictions and sin habits that you have been stuck in for years and says, I'm calling you out of it. God sees beyond your own self-hatred. God sees beyond your own self-esteem issues. God sees beyond the sins of your past and says, I'm calling you out of that because it's not what I see. I don't see the grave. I don't see that you stink. I see life. I'm calling you out. I'm giving you resurrection life. Why? How can he do that? Because he is the resurrection and the life. That's who he is. The same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in you. The resurrection is for us now to receive. You might say, well, Jesse, well, I'm not dead yet. I'm not in a grave. Sorry, I just thought of Monty Python and Holy Grail. He's not dead yet. Anyway, sorry. It's a whole other thing. Yes, he is. We'll be stone dead in a moment. Anyway, sorry. Weird, I know, right? He just quoted Monty Python on Easter. Ridiculous. You say, well, I'm not dead, Jesse. What are you talking about? And I said, well, maybe you are. That's what I'd say. Maybe there's areas that you're still living in your own grave. For those of you who have been keeping what's called a safe distance from the whole God thing, I would say maybe now is the time to get out of the grave and come alive. For those of you who know that God has called you to new challenges in your life, whether that's at work, family, church, there's something new that you feel stirring, or somebody's asked you to do something. A boss has told you about a position, or you feel a sensing or a calling or stirring, and you're so plagued with fear and self-doubt, maybe the Lord's looking at you and said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Step out of your grave. Step out of that old mundane life and come into what I've called you to do. Maybe some of you, God has stirred you in regards to the spiritual gifts lately. We've been heavily talking about that. Maybe you're sensing it, you're stirring it, but you're so terrified by it. What is he talking about? Prophetic gifts and gifts of help and gifts of healing and gifts of evangelism. And you're feeling the stirring, but you're still hiding in your old grave. And I would say that Jesus and his resurrection power is looking at you and say, what are you hiding for? Why are you still in the grave? I've called you to full life. For those of you who wish that you could just be bold enough to share your faith and pray for those who are hurting, maybe today is the day that you let him call you out of your grave and you walk in boldness. You let him call you out of your fears. What if Lazarus, when he came out of the grave, and they all went up to rush at him and unwrap him, were like, no, I kind of like this. I kind of like this. This is like it's a warm cuddle. It's the original Snuggie, the death Snuggie, right? That's ridiculous, right? But in a spiritual sense, I feel like we do that a lot. We come to Christ, we get saved, and yet we still kind of live with our grave clothes on. Well, I kind of like the way this sin makes me feel. I kind of like my anger and my unforgiveness toward that person because they really hurt me. They really abused me, and it kind of makes me feel good about myself. It kind of makes me feel a little safer. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But yet we do it all the time. And for those areas, I would say he is full resurrection. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Not partly, not in glimpses or taste of it, but fully experience resurrection life where you have died to yourself and now you live in me. You fully live in who I am. And who I am is not anger, judgment, addiction, bitterness. That's not who he is. He is resurrection life. And that's what he's called you to live. This morning, I want to encourage you, maybe it's the day for you to get out of your grave. Some of us so often live in Martha's mentality, the only if idea. If only God would have done this, then I could have done this. How many of you guys, this is just a random thought, and I'm so random. What time is it? We're okay today, right? Yeah, we're good. I know you guys have ham cooking. It's a lot. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite, right? Okay, a few of you guys. Some of you guys, the rest of you are embarrassed to admit it, so you're like, I only watch movies that win Oscars. Right? Napoleon Dynamite, there's this character named Uncle Rico, right? Uncle Rico. It's one of the best scenes in the movie. He's sitting on the porch talking about, back in my day, I could throw a pigskin a quarter mile, right? And what is he holding in his hand at that time? It's like a steak, right? He's eating steak. And Napoleon rides by on the bike, and he throws a steak and hits him in the back of the head. It's great. It's a great scene, right? The reason I say that, though, is because in some sense, there's a lot of people living in the, if only I would have done that, then I could be this. If only this would have happened. If only that pregnancy would have happened. If only that career would have taken off. Or if only I would have had both parents. If only, you know, I would have been at the right church, and the church wouldn't have been abusive with their language, and they wouldn't have taught this false gospel, then if only, then I could actually be doing something better, or I could actually be fully living my life, or I could actually be doing whatever it is. You guys know what I'm talking about? If only the divorce wouldn't have happened. I want to encourage you this morning, God does not live in the if onlys. He's looking at your current grave and saying, come forth. Get out of it and do what I've asked you to do. Live resurrection life. Not on your own strength, but in mine. Not out of your own willpower, but fully yielded to the Lordship of Christ. We got to get beyond the if-only moments. God is responding to you in this moment by saying, come forth. This is a day not simply for remembrance, but a day for you to come out of your grave clothes. Because he is the resurrection. He is the life. That's who he is. I ask, why are you so in your grave clothes? What does that look like for you? At this point, I want to do something different and special if Sarah and Jenna could come forward. So I've had a song stuck in my head for probably about a month. And I was driving this week, and the song was in my head. And all of a sudden, I felt like the Lord's like, yeah, you got to preach a whole different message. And I want them to share this song. This song is from the perspective of the Father calling out to us. Does that make sense? It's not your typical worship song. It's a song from the Father looking at us and calling us to life. So I want them to share this song. I think we have the lyrics as well. Let this bless you. There's a line from C.S. Lewis in one of his Chronicles of Narnia. They ask about the safety of God, basically, the character that plays God in the stories. They ask if he's safe, and the response is, of course he isn't safe, but he's good. I want to encourage you this morning that resurrection life is not just about getting to heaven, but it's about us stepping into the present reality of God right now, trusting him, knowing that he might call you to do some wild and dangerous things and have hard conversations and go through things you don't want to go through. It's not safe, but it's good. It's right for you. He is a good father who loves his children, and he's not out to sabotage you. He died on the cross that you could experience full life now, resurrection life today. And I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what you've been walking through. I don't know the journey that you've been on or the questions that you faced and the stirrings in your heart. I don't know that, but he does. And I'm telling you, he's good, and he wants you to recognize that he hasn't waited to deliver you because he's bad or forgotten you. He just wants you to trust him and watch him display himself. He just wants you to yield to him, fully yield to him, and watch the grave clothes fall off. Watch that cave that you've been hiding in suddenly become a place of life. Suddenly you're out living life like you were meant to live it. God is an active God, a present God, and Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning from heaven because he is good, because he has conquered the grave, because he has conquered sin, and you don't have to. Luke 20 says, now he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. That's who he is. He's a God of the living, and he's called you to fully live life. Today is the day to come out of whatever you're hiding from, whatever it is that's between you and the Father, between you and this thing that he's called you to. Today's the day to live resurrection life. don't just celebrate resurrection with colorful eggs or candy or ham or baskets or whatever. Don't just celebrate this day today. But celebrate Easter by living a resurrected life. I would encourage you to leave this place today with new commitments to yield to the Lordship of Christ. Whatever that looks like, I don't know what that is for you. Like Colossians said, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things. That's what I would encourage you to do today. Remember Easter by setting your mind on heaven, not on the current brokenness that you're walking through. You can't find life among the dead. You can't find hope where there's death. So whatever that is that you've been looking for life in, whether it's fitness or promotions or whatever, the American dream, you're not going to find life there. You're only going to find it in Christ. Look to him. John tells us over and over again in his gospel that we have to abide in him. And when we abide in him, we bear fruit, we give life, we produce life. That's the resurrection life. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to go into just a few moments of worship. We're going to have a few members of our prayer team over here in the corner. If you would like prayer for anything, anything at all, whether it's healing, whether it's something spiritual, whether you're walking through a struggle, a trial, whatever, our prayer team is here to pray with you. But would you worship one more time the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who has given you resurrected life that you get to experience today? Would you do that with me? Would you celebrate Easter with me? Let's do that for a few moments.